ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 4. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Colossians tells us He is the one in whom dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Wow. He's the one who could stand on the bow of a boat and say, "Peace be still," in the midst of a major storm that unnerved seasoned men of the sea. And that sea was calmed in a moment. You have no idea where we're at here if you don't see that. You got to have Him. You know, when you're looking down the sights of a gun, you know, a rifle, you got that little bead at the end, that little thing up here in the front, a bridge of sorts, and you're looking down there, you're trying to find that bead line up. Just listen, Jesus, where's He at? That's the plumb line. That's what you're looking for. Bible says in verse 21 of John chapter 5, "For as the Father raises up the dead," He says, "I'm going to do greater works than the others." Let's go back to verse 20 and get the running. It says in verse 20, it says, "For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that Himself is doing." And it says, "And He will show Him even greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will." So God can make alive the dead, and so can Jesus. So there again is a connective to who God is and Jesus being God. But here's the thing. There's where He's using quick and dead. Now, this is where you start paying attention. You want to lean in on your Bible when you read something like this, especially with the one back in Peter in mind's eye. The Bible says the Father raiseth up the dead and quickens them. Peter says He is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Okay? Now, this is not talking about at the Bema or at the Great White Throne. This is talking about in real time here in Jesus' words. Watch what happens. He says, "For the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. For the Father judges no man, but He's committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him." He's really, this is a backhanded swap at the people who are saying, you know, we're going to try to kill Him more because He broke the Sabbath and He said He's equal with God. Okay. Now look further. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me has everlasting life." That can never end. Wow. Does Jesus exaggerate? "Well, it's everlasting unless you do this." No. "Has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation." That means there's no purgatory. You're not going to come into condemnation. The Bible says there is therefore now, Romans 8:1, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? Now, you understand, right, that you feel condemned sometimes. You say, "That's a little weak on my amen because I feel condemned." Well, the Bible says that you don't raise up a neophyte, a newbie in the faith, and make him a leader in the church too quickly because he can fall into the snare and the condemnation of the devil. And the Bible says if our hearts condemn us, God's greater than our hearts. So there is condemnation in the Christian life, but it's not from God. You see, the devil likes to condemn us. He likes to get us. What he does is he tempts us. And then when we fall into his temptation, what's he do? He accuses us. Ah! And when he accuses you, you say, "Yeah, you're right," and you're condemned. That's the condemnation of the devil. Some of us live there every day of the week. Condemned. Me, whoa. But what about self-condemnation? "I knew I should do the better. I know I can do better." You're not even listening to the devil. You know the judgment is absolute perfection. The Bible says you must be perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And you're sitting back and you're saying, "Wow." And you didn't know what that meant. Nobody does when they first read it. And it's because Jesus was getting us lost. He says you can't be perfect. So now you're poor in spirit. You're mourning over your sin and you're searching for righteousness. And you find it in Jesus and now it's all good. So now you've got this thing and you're really trying to do things for God. And you've got this track record going, man. You've been good. You've not done fallen into that one sin. You've not done this one thing. You've been behaving this thing. You got victory. And then what happens? You fall. You stumble. And now you're condemning yourself because just like you would expect so much from everybody around you. you find in the mirror that it was you. And the Bible says, if our hearts condemn us, praise be to God. God is greater than our hearts. So who are you going to listen to? What drives you? Okay. You're going to listen to the devil? You're going to listen to your own assessment? Or are you going to listen to God? David picked up that psalm in Psalm 32. And Paul brings it to the fore in Romans chapter 4. He says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. He will not do it. David said, I'm the man, you know, take me, I sin. Once he finally was busted out by Nathan the prophet, he said, that's me. The prophet said, nevertheless, the Lord has put away your sin. That's all David needed was a verse from God. Whose opinion are you listening to? Are you driven by the lust of the flesh or by the will of God? Because I'm telling you, over here on the will of God side, that's pretty good ground over there. Okay? If we try to do both, we're like Tarzan. We're swinging from one vine to the next, and we're not letting go of one, and we're holding on to the other. We're stuck between two. Okay? We're not doing anything. We need to be a people who understand what God is up to. And what God is up to is God is up to judging the quick and the dead. Watch what happens. Verse 24 of chapter 5 of John. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my words, believeth on him that sent me, has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that means truly, truly, most assuredly, it's like he says it twice, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Who's that? That's him. He's standing there. It right now is that people will hear my voice, and they that hear shall live. I heard. I heard him. I listened. He said, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. And I'm alive today because he drew near and he said, come unto me. Let me read that again for you. Verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of God. What he's doing is he's pushing back on those Pharisees up there who said he made himself equal with God. He said, I am the Son of God. He's basically taking the gloves off. He said, I'm the Son, you know, I've got life in me. I can give people life. Just like the Father has life in him, I've got life in me. Anybody who hears me, they can be living today. He says, for as the Father hath life in himself, so also he giveth unto the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Listen, marvel not at this. Don't marvel at what I just told you. If you hear me, you can live forever. If you will hear me, you will never be condemned. If you will hear me, you will have everlasting life. Do not marvel at this. For the hour is coming in the which they that are even in the graves will hear my voice. All of them will hear who? They will hear the Son of Man's voice. Wow. What's going to happen then? And they will come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life. And they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. So he says, yeah, there's quick and dead. There's lost people and living people. There's zombies in this world right now, and there are people who are alive and well. But there's even something more powerful than that. There's coming a day when Jesus will actually speak the word, and death and hell will give up the dead that are in them. And all will stand before him. In the rapture, he's going to take the dead in Christ, not the Old Testament saints. In the rapture, he's taking the dead in Christ, and we're going into his presence, and we're arriving at the Bema seat. Bema seat is hearkening back to the awards arena in the Roman games. Think of the bronze and the silver and the gold medal stands. We're all going to be medalists, okay? We're going to stand before him at the Bema seat. We're going to receive reward for what we've done in the flesh. And when he says done good, don't think that means you've done good because you were a nice person, because a lot of nice people are going to hell. Because they've said they're a nice person because they are a nice person naturally, and therefore they get a get out of hell free card just because they're nice. No. If you think that, then what you're saying is we don't need Jesus and you've just become a heretic. We all need Jesus. In fact, Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous unto salvation, but I came to call sinners unto repentance. Because if you were righteous in your own eyes, your sin would remain. You see, the Bible is filled with the words that you need to kind of unpack what is true. And when he tells us in the book of 1 Peter, he says he's ready right now. He's ready to judge the quick and the dead. That's verse 5 of chapter 4 in 1 Peter. He's ready right now. It's ready. It's just like when he used the word in chapter 1. He says that this is a gospel that is prepared now to be put out there. You have been upended as believers in Peter's picture. You know, he talked about Cappadocia, Bithynia and all that. He says you're scattered now everywhere out of Jerusalem. And being scattered, he says, you have a gospel with you that is ready to be disseminated. It's ready. It's perfect. It's absolutely great. That same word is used in chapter 4 and verse 5. It says, they will give account to him who is ready. Do you realize what happens? They think it's strange in verse 4 that you don't walk with them to the same excess of riot, blaspheming. You see, what they think is what's in their heart. And the heart is the wellspring of the mouth. As a person thinks in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so when they're thinking about what happened to you, it makes them to blaspheme. Because they hate God. They don't see. And what he's saying is, says, these are the same people who are going to give an account for that blasphemy to him who is ready right now, just like when Jesus was standing there. And he says the hour is now is coming and now is that they will hear the voice of the Son of Man and he that hears will live. He says when they're watching your life, listen, this is the nut of it. When they're watching your life, it's got to be clear word, because what they end up putting out there and their judgment. Jesus is ready to judge the quick and the dead, but they're making a judgment. Who are you driven by? The lusts of men, the will of men, or the will of God? You're supposed to be out there recognizing that if you've suffered, you've ceased from sin, verse 1. Because that's hard to get some self-control and to realize God has a plan. It's a rescue plan. Don't you just marvel that it's so true when you read 1 Corinthians? It says, who's he chosen to be saved? Not many wise, not many noble. It's us. We in this room. Maybe one of us has a crutch or a cane. One of us maybe can't see so well anymore. Listen, that's the army of the Lord, for crying out loud. And one day we're going to be amazed at what really was available here to be used for him. Has it ever staggered you to think of what Johnny Erickson Tata did after becoming a paraplegic to become an international figure of power for God? What's our excuse? I remember David Ring used to say that. What was his cerebral palsy? He's just up there. He's moving a little, you know, with the jerkiness that goes with the disease. What's your excuse? I'm preaching Jesus. What's your excuse?
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.